come out. More notably, we look at like the punks. They were heavily studied through this sociologist called Hebditch. And Hebditch was studying the meaning of style and fashion through semiotics and was particularly looking at subcultures, especially the punks, because he found that there was a chaos and kind of meaninglessness that was being experienced by working class youth in Britain during kind of the 70s and 80s. And punks reflected that through their kind of appropriation of household objects. So they would use, for example, the main one associated with punks is safety pins. And they would use safety pins as accessories, such as earrings or holding clothes together. And this developed a concept of bricolage, which became really strongly associated with punks because it's the taking of common, ordinary items and repurposing them to mean something new. So safety pins were shifting from a purpose of practicality to fashion and is now a very clear semiotic of punk subcultures. And with the emergence of the punk subculture, it kind of also shifted the theory behind subcultures because they were previously being analyzed as a clear depiction of class struggle and conflict, which we saw with the Teddy Boys and skinheads. But punks actually highlighted how youth subcultures had changed and they'd become much more reflexive. And some of their stylistic choices were motivated by the three main classifications of social class, gender, and ethnic struggles. But they also were in response to other stimuli, which included like art and media. And one common ground, because punks didn't have much of a kind of unification of style that the Teddy Boys and the skinheads had. So it was kind of thinking, how have they characterized themselves to be a subculture? What is uniting them? What is the drawing thing that brings them together? And it was their attitude behind things, because their style could very much vary. So they were actually categorized to have a rebellious attitude that was a rejection to societal norms and expectations, and they were having views of anti-establishment. So it attracted individuals who felt alienated by mainstream society. And when Hebditch was studying their subcultural style and looking at semiotic analysis through the punks, he saw how stylistic choices from the punks may not be the same for each person, but they were all imbued with a symbolic meaning. So if we look again at the safety pin, it's associated with punks and seen as a symbol of defiance and anti-establishment because it represents a DIY ethic at the time, where safety pins were kind of fashion accessories holding ripped up clothing together. So essentially, them using the safety pin in their clothes was them holding up a middle finger to the establishment saying, we don't need your fancy clothes, we can make our own fashion. So it strongly signified a rejection of mainstream fashion and consumerism that was emerging in the 1980s. And it was also one of the few symbols of solidarity and unity for the punks. So you can kind of see how it's sort of changing a bit the purpose of subcultures and how subcultures were representing themselves. Now, alongside this, there was a development of club cultures. So there are subcultures, and then there's club cultures and countercultures which come up. And I won't be able to go into all of it today, but looking briefly at club cultures, the 1980s saw the emergence of what they called ravers. And you still see them to an extent today as well. So ravers were, I'm pretty sure people will have heard of them, but a club culture that enjoyed electronic music, art, and social ideals at raves, which are kind of like, I guess, party night party events as a way of describing them. But they also became kind of heavily associated with drug use. So they differed from previous subcultures because rather than having political social ideals, they surrounded their ideals more around like peace, love, respect, unity, happiness, and just seeked a heightened sense of belonging that was alternative to mainstream. So rather than valuing social solidarity, they valued individualism, nonconformity, and self-expression. And you'd often see them wearing neon or bright colours and just participating in illicit drug use to electronic kind of dance music and techno music. So they're considered more to be into the transition away from subcultures in society to club cultures, because they weren't unified through conflict or struggle. They actually just came together for specific dance events and didn't often, you wouldn't find that they really had much in common, except that they wanted to go to these events. And a sociologist called Thornton actually delved into research in club cultures, particularly ravers. And they said that they saw this as part of a youth transition where people could have freedom to experiment away from parents and mainstream societal pressure. So youth became much more about just having individual freedom to experiment and make mistakes. It was a more postmodern view than what we were seeing of subcultures, where it was very much linked to societal struggles. So for them, club culture was an escape from class that was placed upon them from their parents. So rather than resisting this class structure, they just escaped it. And that's where we're seeing a massive difference from earlier subcultures. And then you kind of move on to contemporary subcultures now, which I have quite a bit to say on, of where we're at now and postmodernism in explaining it. But I think I will just take a break here to play some music, because I have just delved into five different subcultures and the way it's changing. And it's kind of a lot of information on different subcultures and how they were formed and why. In the UK, this isn't to say that it's the same as well for everywhere in the world. This was specifically UK-based subcultures. We're going to move on to a song. This song is called Candy. It's quite an old song. It's from 2009, and it's by a Scottish singer-songwriter called Paolo Nutini, and it's off of his album Sunnyside Up, and I hope you guys all enjoy it.
I was perched outside in the pouring rain, trying to make myself a sail. Then I'll float to you, my darling, with the evening on my tail. Although not the most honest means of travel, it gets me there nonetheless. I'm a heartless man at worst, babe, and a helpless one at best. Darling, I'll leave your skin, I'll even wash your clothes. Just give me some candy before I go. Oh, darling, I'll kiss your eyes and lay you down on your rug. Just give me some candy after my. I've taken quite enough. While I'm some stain there on your bedsheet, you're my diamond in the rough. Darling, I'll bathe your skin, I'll even wash your clothes. Just give me some candy before I go. After my clothes. Just give me some candy before I go. Oh, darling, I'll kiss your eyes and lay you down on your rug. Just give me some candy after my hug. Oh, and I'll be there waiting for you. You know that I'll be there waiting for you. Oh,
thank you. Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
And welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Campus and Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. You are currently tuned into Sociologic. I will be your host for about the next 13 minutes. We have just been discussing the history behind UK subcultures kind of starting post-war Britain to about the 1980s. And I'm going to touch upon now kind of where we are now with subcultures, what we kind of see in today's society in the UK. Be sure to stay tuned for Bitcoover, which is coming up after from 8 to 10 p.m. And just a reminder of the songs you just heard. That last one was another Scottish song, actually. It was a single called Everyone Has Their Reasons by the artist Kill Symbols, and that was released earlier this year. And the song before that was by the Scottish artist Paolo Nutini, and it was his 2009 song Candy from the album Sunny Side Up. So we have sort of looked at how the post-war Britain youth subcultures were predominantly seen to be a fight against the bourgeoisie and a divide between this ruling class and proletariats. It was very much a class struggle, probably best explained through Marxism, where subcultures are seen to be formed as symbolic resistance against dominant classes and often expressed through style and behavior, with working class youth being dissatisfied in a capitalist society because they are alienated via their social positions. And you see this not just with social class, it's just marginalized groups challenging the hegemony of the ruling class. Even if you don't really see prominent change, it was very much largely symbolic. And now we kind of more have a postmodern view on subcultures, where it's a kind of, with club cultures especially and drug taking, it's the thrill of the risk and pushing boundaries whilst young people can before they're fully integrated into society and with responsibilities. So it's a desire to almost resist dominant societal norms, to construct their own identities and to challenge power structures, because they can break away from societal values and it not have a huge impact yet. And if we look at contemporary society now, there are not a lot of subcultures that can be outwardly identified as a subculture through like very clear style choices, for example. The ones that are more commonly seen are metalheads and emos as very clearly outwardly a subculture in their dress sense. The others kind of are all a bit blurred, and it's more to do with this kind of postmodern view where in contemporary society we have an increased fluidity. So it's more of an individualistic process where people actively mix and choose different cultural elements to create their own unique identity, rather than adhering to a kind of strict shared norms and values that are within a subculture, such as having a shared style or a shared love of one particular genre of music. And I was reading this article actually from back in 2014, so still I guess quite an old article, where it was discussing how subcultures have dissipated in the UK because we have a changing kind of class structure from when they were prominent. So in the 1950s and 60s, there was not a strong middle class, whereas now in contemporary society, there is a very strong middle class. It also says that there is now, young people are just satiated with this like plethora of entertainment, that there is no desire to rebel to these class structures through a dress style or rituals from before. So there's this like lack of a radical young student movement that was feeding into subcultures in the 60s and 70s. And because of this as well, the semiotic signs are not as hard-edged, they're not as obvious, because we see in contemporary society now a very kind of drastic increase in consumer culture with like fast fashions, and kids have more income than they did before, and things are being cheaper and easier to get. Whereas when you were involved in subcultures like the Teddy Boys, you'd have to put kind of a heavy financial investment in conforming to this stylistic homogeneity of the subculture. And the internet as well being developed, youth are more interested in constructing an identity on the internet rather than presenting an outward in-person identity which shows off interests or allegiance to a certain subculture. If we're looking financially as well, an internet persona online costs next to nothing than having to invest in a certain dress sense for your wardrobe to wear day in and day out. So with the development of the internet, you're kind of actually seeing a different phenomenon to youth being a part of one subculture, but actually youth having multiple different personas online. You can have multiple different versions of yourself. And that's a whole other kind of ball game. But the internet doesn't seem at the moment to spawn the mass cultural movements that young people were bonded together by previously. It seems to spawn more brief microcosmic ones, and you kind of can see it a bit through I think it's like the dopamine kind of rush where we all have short attention spans, so we're now looking for short videos to get a quick dopamine hit. It's a bit like that with social movements. Some last a bit longer than others, but it's not as long lasting as it was previously without the internet. And so that's kind of where we're looking at with contemporary subcultures today. And this article delved in a bit on this development of haul cultures, where you're looking at YouTubers who will go, I don't know, on Black Friday sales and buy heaps of stuff just to do a haul, and you're just consuming that video. And it's like a group of like influencers that just make hauls. That's their brand, like that's what they do. And you have the same thing with mukbangs, where people are eating different foods and you're just watching them, and they might be talking about something alongside it. But it's these different kind of subcultures that blur into each other a bit because of the internet. So nothing is as hard-edged or distinct as it was back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But it still, I think, follows the same idea a bit that functionalists propose of subcultures being a transition period. There's a sociologist called Parsons who says it's a navigating this transitional phase from childhood to adulthood, where it offers you a chance to have an identity before social integration. It's providing youth the space to make mistakes and gain responsibilities before going into adulthood, so you can experiment with different identities and behaviors. And I think that has stayed the same throughout all subcultures. The multiple identities that you can create online gives you a chance to kind of experiment with different versions of yourself, seeing which fits and which doesn't before you go into adulthood, where you gain this mass responsibility and you'll have less freedom to experiment with different ideas and what you want, what you see yourself as. And this is part of postmodernism and how it explains that there is a fluidity now with youth and in subcultures. It's much more individualistic. It's less really strict norms and values within a subculture, really strict dress code to be a part of the subculture, really strict interests. Everyone kind of differs to their own, and there may be one thing that brings them together, very similar to how we were talking about punks before, in that respect as well. So that is all I have for you all today. I will be back here next week with Kaylin. We haven't picked a topic yet, but I'm very excited. It's a lot harder just not having someone to kind of discuss different ideas and to talk to when doing this. So very excited to be back with Kaylin next week. So make sure to tune in and also to just stay tuned for Bitcoover, which is coming up in about 4 minutes. With our music coordinator, Connor, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So I am going to leave it there. I hope you all have a lovely rest of your evening, and I will see you all next week.
Take my hand, and we can go walking, and we can talk about whatever is on your mind. Be my friend, but secretly like me. I wanna catch you staring and make you go alright. I love the way your hair falls in the summer. I'll treat you like your father treats your mother. And I'm kinda scared of your older brother. And mine in the water. We can explore these hills if that's what you wanna do. You know I can't stay when it gets cold in the evenings. Now I'm standing there freezing, but my clothes look so good on you. You play with my hair like there's no other. And I'm no longer scared of your older brother. He said we're cool, man, I know you love her. Oh yeah. I'll get you in loads of trouble. Give you love on the double. We can get drunk, yeah. Our words can get more. No cigarette smoke will burst that little bubble. Oh no. Take my hand, and we can go walking, and we can talk about whatever is on your mind. You play with my hair like there's no other. I'll treat you like your father treats your mother. And I'm no longer scared of your older brother.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.